definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Good morning to you and yours. This is the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff McGuire in for Choice Woodman today, sitting alongside the one and only Jeff Haxton. It is a Dos El Jefes edition of the End of the Bench. Lucas White across the way, sliding slides, pushing buttons, taking care of us as he always does the first 2 hours of the program. Tons to get to today. A 50-burger win for the Red Raider basketball team that did not see coming. No one saw coming except Chuck Hines. That tells
you. Stradamus saw it.
And that tells you how crazy it was. Chuck should have bought a lottery ticket on Friday.
Should have. I listened on the way in. Yeah.
Just insane. And now all of us get to hear until the next basketball game how right he was on picking Tech would win by 45 or more. And he did. So good there. Two of your better players for the basketball team didn't have just phenomenal games, but you still won by 50, which meant you had other guys stepping up and helping out and doing the things you need to do for a basketball win. You had three really entertaining games in the NFL on Saturday. And then the Cowboys played on Sunday. How are you, Hax?
I have been better. It has been rough. Sickness has invaded my house. I've started calling Perry Snots.
It's terrible for me to laugh at that, but damn, that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Come on, Snots. Which ties into the movie draft. And then now the wife has flu, and nothing worked for me on Saturday for 5 hours. But I was thrilled to see our guys play with intensity on both ends of the floor. I don't know if Fardaw's making the announcement that he did as we were getting on the plane, by the way.
I didn't even mention that. Wow. That tells you how crazy a weekend it was.
He makes that tweet while he's basically... the bus is parking to, we were waiting in line to be screened and that popped up and then everybody gets on the plane kind of with a smile on their face and there hasn't been a whole lot of smiling going on. And then you watch them go through their practice and their walk arounds and man, everything seemed just businesslike and taking care of their own responsibilities from the coaches, GAs, players, managers. The only one that couldn't take care of business was me. And it was fun to watch that. And then just how smothering they were on the defensive side. And I know you have to take it with a grain of salt because Jackson State's not any good. I understand. But they have three or four players that can go. They beat SMU. They were close with Mississippi State, who's undefeated. Played them to within 10, but it was closer than that down the stretch. So they have some ability. You know what I'm saying? They're not any good, but they have some ability. And you made them look very... elementary. You know, you really squeeze the life out of them, especially on the defensive side, turned them over 18 times in the first half. And then you had, I think the best part about Saturday was guys that hadn't contributed much contributed a ton. KJ Allen looked explosive, talented, great around the rim. Damarian Williams, who wasn't able to hit the broadside of a barn, goes for 17, all that in the second half. Really just heated up, hitting three-pointers, and you see why he was recruited. And I kept looking at, his numbers at Gardner-Webb, and it includes over 750 points and I think over 140 career three-pointers. And you're like, okay, you know something's there, but we haven't seen any of it in Lubbock. So to see him get going, Kerwin Walton actually hit a three-pointer. These guys that you haven't had any kind of contribution from really contributed. And that's with Bacho in a boot. That's with Fardaz in his boot. And so you were really small, but you just played great. And it was fun to watch them do their thing and play hard and play the way Mark Adams wants them to play. And it, all in all, one of the better game days that we've experienced this year.
A couple of people giving you some props on the Yates Learning Center chat line for muscling through the broadcast on Saturday. I'll be completely honest. As nice of a win as it was for the Red Raider basketball team, and what I mean by absolutely taking care of business, you beat a high school team, but you beat the high school team, and it wasn't close, and it wasn't in contest. It wasn't a 10-point affair that you get up early 10 and just carry it through. It was a pure domination all the way across the board. Is this the win that we're going to look at the end of the year going, that was the best win of the season? No, that's not what this win was, but this could be the one that sparks the fire with this team of, oh, so this is what we mean by playing Red Raider basketball, and this is what it can look like. This could be that marker, but I am so frustrated with what happened Sunday afternoon in Jacksonville that I need this.
He's got miles! Oh! Yowza!
And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House! Yeah!
Can you believe that?
Woo! Oh, Hightower, three straight away. Yes! Kirk Wilson, you magical son of a gun.
I didn't think of goals!
Chuck Hines! Hines!
Screaming. And he was like,
Hump Diddly D!
We love you, Tom!
That's not bad, huh?
It's the NFL. Any given Sunday, anybody can beat anybody. Nobody goes undefeated. Everybody's got a stinking loss, like through that you look at and go, "How did we lose that game? Why did we lose that game?" And everybody's got a win that you're like, "There's no way we should have won that game." Every team in the NFL has that. That's not what this was. This was absolutely the Dallas Cowboys being up 17 in the third quarter, going, "We're good." Nah, you can have ball. It's fine. And as much as the pick six in overtime is frustrating, tip balls are going to happen. Players are going to make plays in the NFL. I get it. It should never have come down to that, Axe. It should never have gotten to that point. It should. I'm without words.
Hey, your boys are in the playoffs.
Hum diddly dee. To quote the montage, sarcastically. And I hate to do that because the montage is greatness. However, you get into the playoffs because Washington lost. Let me just tell you how great that makes me feel.
Sure, they were going to feel great.
They were going to be in the playoffs anyway.
Hey, just remember week one, man. Think how far you guys have come.
Right, and you continue to play down to your competition, thinking you can come from behind against these bad teams, and it finally jumped up and bit you in the butt. But again, there are positives that happened. Lots of positives that happened that we will get into as we bring you the headlines momentarily. If you've got a headline, I would love to hear about it. Anything not related to the Cowboys. Because there was no positives from that game. Yardage wasn't even positive. I mean, the yardage was positive. But no. And then I had an issue with my computer on Friday that it just kicked the whole weekend off on a sour note. And I'm sure I'll share that story at some point later today. We'll hit you with the headlines next. Because there's positive, I promise. It's on the way. 100.7 The Score and the end of the bench.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
No, it's the highs, not the highs and lows, because that's coming up later, but it's the good and the bad. It's what you need to know here on the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff McGuire in for Choice Woodman today, sitting alongside Jeff Haxton, Lucas White across the way, Dos El Jefes edition, and we're just going to do some positives first. Jeff, do the positives, because Argentina wins the World Cup. So all of us that didn't care about soccer can go back to not caring about soccer anymore since the World Cup is over.
That's a little harsh.
Congratulations out to Argentina for winning. Final was great. Penalty kicks is great. U.S. team did well. Not awesome, but well. Lots to build towards. France lost. Everyone wins, right?
France kind of like Notre Dame. Like Messi, the wins the MVP.
As he should.
Scored in every match.
Looking over the weekend, obviously we talked a little bit about it, but in case you were living under a rock over the weekend, Texas Tech 102, Jackson State 52. Standout performance from that game from you would be who?
Damarian Williams and KJ Allen. And then the 360 dunk from Kevin O'Banner.
See, that was what I was looking for, was a 360 dunk. That was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But it also kind of shows what can happen when you overpower an opponent like that. Other scores around the Big 12 included Oklahoma winning, Kansas winning, no shock there. Kansas State beating Nebraska.
Yeah, that's a big win for them. That was at the Sprint Center.
And Oklahoma State, 10-point win over Wichita. So good news there for some Big 12 teams. Texas got another win without Chris Beard, 72-62 over Stanford. Iowa State won, West Virginia won, TCU won, Baylor won. Was the Big 12 undefeated?
Yeah, it was a big weekend for the Big 12.
It's a huge weekend for the Big 12.
It was crazy. They started that Baylor game last night at 9 o'clock, and I watched almost every bit of it. Washington State was pretty darn good. They came into that thing at 4-5. Had a couple shooters, had a couple of bigs, and gave Baylor a little bit of trouble. Baylor does not have Jonathan Chamwa-Chachua back yet. When he gets back, they'll be really, really dangerous. They got some big-time pieces and a Big 12 Player of the Year candidate in Keontae George, who has kind of gone past guys like Adam Flagler, in my opinion. Flagler's unbelievable, but the bottom line on all this Big 12 basketball is we're seeing that everybody's pretty darn good, but still I think everybody's got some warts that you can try to exploit. It's going to be fascinating to see when we get into Big 12 play who can do it and who can't. And that's coming up in 12 days.
Yeah. So more chances for the Red Raider basketball team coming up this week as they take on Houston Christian, formerly known as Houston Baptist. You'll hear that game here on 100.7 The Score and over on Double T 97.3.
1 o'clock, Wednesday.
Noon. Well, tip one.
Tip one.
You'll hear the awesome pregame.
Non-cell phone broadcast.
You're really excited about that part of that broadcast. Uh-huh. And you get your partner back, too. Because Lovell was with you, right? Never got...
He was there, yeah.
Well, we can confirm he was there.
Yep.
No one heard him. Nope. Except the people in the crowd, I'm sure. And the officials that he got to yell at because he wasn't on the microphone. Texans fall to the Chiefs, 30-24. If you'd have told me on Friday that this game was going to go to overtime, I said... Yeah, right. What? Pat just forget to show up for the game? Is that what happened there? No. Give credit to where credit's due. Texans play people tougher than their 1-12 record demonstrates. And I think the Chiefs got every bit of Houston that they wanted and then some. But we're still able to pull out a victory in overtime thanks to a 26-yard touchdown run from the Chiefs offense. Texans force overtime on a 29-yard field goal. So I'm starting to feel a little bit better about the win that the Cowboys had over Houston. But, yeah, then I get to what happened in explain it to me, Haxton. I mean, did you watch this debacle on Saturday? I mean, on Sunday? Or did you get to avoid it?
I wish I could
avoid it. Yes, the debacle.
I was dealing with flu cases.
And I think I would rather have been dealing with flu cases.
Oh, no. No, you wouldn't. Not with the amount of mucus that was going on at my place. No.
It's just... It's
I had to
so
go back and watch the highlights on Dallas and the World Cup because of the crazy amount of sick.
I mean, if you look at the numbers of this game, Prescott... 23 for 30, 256, three touchdowns, and then the two interceptions. And that, I'm not blaming him for the second one. That's obviously on the receiver in overtime that was returned for six. But that's the stat, right? Those two turnovers that ended up costing you the game. Cowboys running game, 154 yards on the ground. That's pretty much what they do. He had 75 from Pollard, 58 from Elliott. Dak even ran for 20 in this game. Your receiving core, CeeDee Lamb, 126 yards. Tony Pollard got 31 in a combo effort. Elliott got two catches for 13 yards. You had all the things going for you. And screw it up. And I'm so sick of this team playing down to their competition and thinking, oh, well, we're the Cowboys and we're okay.
Yeah, you could have thrown it backwards when you're headed to overtime and then thrown it backwards again and then
have
the other team run it in for a walk-off double lateral pass to
sure.
the defense like what happened with the Patriots and the Raiders.
If this was the first time, though, I'd seen the team that I root for, that I lock in on watch every single Sunday, to need a win to get into the playoffs and control your own destiny at that point and lose, well, I would be disappointed. I don't know that I would be this upset. But I have seen it year in and year out toward the end of the season. Cowboys, all they have to do is win, and you're in the playoffs. And lay an egg.
Well, they're in.
Thanks to Washington. I don't want to thank Washington for getting into the playoffs. And don't ask me how Washington
losing.
They
got hosed.
They did. How them
losing
puts the Cowboys in.
They got tackled trying to run routes.
Because Washington can still finish ahead of the Cowboys. I mean, it would take a Herculean effort. I don't understand how
it
works. I don't have to understand.
You know who I'm going to be rooting for the rest of the way? Back to my old roots, the Detroit Lions. 6-1. They are 6 wins in their last 7 matchups. 7-7 on the year. Beat the Jets yesterday. Still got to do some work to get in, but I think they're going to get in. They are playing some ball now. But what happened with this Patriots debacle is they handed off at the 40. He goes to the other 40. Was it Ramondre Stevenson? Is that who was that one?
Yeah.
He flips it back to a receiver who then throws it halfway across the field to Chandler Jones, who then trucks Mac Jones. I love the stiff arm. He threw him down into the mantle of the earth with that stiff arm, ran right over him. They go and score. Turns out to be a walk-off. Craziness.
So you had a good time watching that.
Hey, to see the Patriots not doing well is fine by me. And the Raiders have had a rough year, so I was kind of happy for them.
The guy that sits in this chair in the morning wishes he watched that game, because then he could say that he got to watch that game. But we all know why he wasn't watching that game, because it involved those Las Vegas Raiders. His, like, second most hated team. I don't know where Denver falls in the hatred for Kansas City Chiefs fans between the Broncos and the Raiders. I think it's 1-1A or 1A1, 1A2, depending on how they're playing that week. But he was very, very disappointed. He did not get to watch that game. Lucas, how was your week? We didn't even talk to Lucas yet.
Well,
I'm sorry.
As a Chargers fan, I really don't care about the Raiders and the Broncos. It's basically the Chargers and the Chiefs, and then the Raiders and the Broncos at the bottom. That's how I feel. But, I mean, there was a lot of hype going into the season with Russell Wilson, obviously, and, mm-hmm. and everybody expecting Derek Carr and Davante Adams to have a lights out season. But those two teams have been lackluster, to say the very least. So, yeah. Congratulations to the Chiefs for winning another division. There, I said it.
This off the 8th Solar Center chat line very quickly. Snots is better than bleep. Off the 8th Solar Center chat line. Max, would you agree?
Sure.
It's the end of the bench. We'll check the calendar next on 100.7, The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
One last time to offer you a good morning to you and yours. This is the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Dos El Jefe's edition of the End of the Bench with Jeff McGuire filling in for Choice Woodman and Jeff Haxton in his normal chair. And we're now joined by the one and only Jackson Frazier. He's probably a happy Eagles fan today. Haxton.
It was. It was a good weekend.
Just cruising right along.
I mean,
with Jalen Hurts, of all people.
It's been a crazy season.
Where does Jalen Hurts rank in NFL quarterbacks?
Like this season?
Yeah, get to Jalen.
This year I would start over Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, and that's it.
That's it?
That's it.
Really?
This season, if we're talking about like starting a 5-year team and looking into the future, maybe different, maybe a few more, but this season alone, it's probably just Mahomes.
Start, bench, cut. March Madness, Super Bowl, Summer Olympics.
Ooh. Start, March Madness, bench, Summer Olympics, cut, Super Bowl.
You, me, and Lucas. Same way. Exact opposite over here for Jefe McGuire.
I know March Madness is every year, but the Super Bowl's every year. But March Madness is just such a fun time, and it's a month compared to a day.
But it is also a day where everybody stops. Even people that don't watch football are in on the Super Bowl for whatever reason. You have the Super Bowl party with all of the different foods. It becomes a one event as opposed to the, you know, getting a vasectomy and sitting there with frozen peas for 3 days.
Well, I wish I'd have taken that route.
The frozen peas? We're doing it during March Madness.
Just the timing was not good.
I am not the biggest basketball fan. That also weighs into my fandom here because I don't need an excuse to wrap myself up in the flag when they're playing for my team. It makes it easier. So, and the Summer Olympics are the best Olympics. I think we all agree on that. There's fun in the Winter Olympics, don't get me wrong. And there's enjoyment and entertainment there. And
best Winter Olympics event.
Whichever the one is with the big like half slope, the big slope, and they just shoot down and like spread out.
Ski jump?
Ski jump.
And they just fly as far as
that's a good one.
Eddie the Eagle. I do like
that. I don't know that I have a favorite. I have a one that gets the most attention, and that's because it's kind of like a fishing show. I can't turn it off when it happens. Is curling.
Curling.
But it's not my bobsled.
Bobsled's number one.
I put bobsled up there. I would put
we're going to be able to hold our own Winter Olympics by Thursday, by the way.
Yeah. It's going to get cold.
Hope you're
like a lot of cold. Ready. Yes. Me too. I got new transmission, so it's feeling much better about itself. And it's amazing when you put a new transmission in a pickup that all of a sudden it shifts where it's supposed to shift when it's an automatic. So that was very nice stumbling into it.
To me, it's random question hour. I'm sorry. I'm just firing.
No, you're good. I'm here to answer and ask said questions. This off the 8th Flooring Center chat line, by the way, in agreement with you, Hormel for the win.
Yep.
On the.
That's
ask
right.
Ask this question for Jackson over there. So you're doing
emergency chili dogs.
Emergency chili dogs. Like you've got the hot dogs and you're like, you know, let's upgrade these tonight. And it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You're getting the instant can of chili. Which one are you getting? Wolf or Hormel?
Wolf. No beans.
Well, beans is not even an option right
now.
I'm
just making sure.
Like, if you put beans in your chili, and I'm not going to tell you you're wrong on how you make your chili that you eat, okay? But we can all agree that the beans don't need to be in your chili on a chili dog. Right?
Yeah.
100%.
That's 100% agreement there.
But Wolf all the way.
Mike Martin coming in on the H Flooring Center chat line saying snowboarding on the Winter Olympics as their favorite sport. That is fun to watch. The slalom for the speed skiing is fun. There's a lot of good ones. Nothing that involves a judge, though. Which is pretty much all the figure skating stuff I'm usually out on.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I never see it on TV, but when they're like skiing and shooting.
Oh, the biathlon.
That one's fun to watch.
That one's solid. Again, there's a time. We know who wins. It's easy. We don't have to go to a judging panel. Although I like diving, and it's judged. But I don't feel like it's as dirty as other things that have been judged in Olympic history.
And I feel like we can kind of judge it a little bit better. Just like, oh, he made a big splash. That guy's not getting a good score. Big splash.
And that is like all of like the amateur reel. That's how we look at all of this, like the diving stuff. It has nothing to do with whether the technique was right in the air. It's all about the splash. I love us. That's what we all do.
Texas Tech getting a football commit. Joey McGuire has been going crazy with woos here.
Thank you for pronouncing that correctly.
Woos?
Yes.
Woos.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
There was a person earlier that went wahoo.
Wahoo.
And there's no wahoo there.
Was that Nostradamus?
I'm not going to throw the person under the bus. You can go back and listen to the podcast and find out for yourself.
Justin Horn says, I'm very grateful and would like to thank God for having an opportunity to compete in college football and track. Went on a visit to Tech, decided to commit and sign to Texas Tech football and track. Yeah. I think this was the player that was committed to Louisiana Lafayette. Or just Louisiana, Rayjean Cajuns.
I am not
DB, I believe.
Completely plugged into recruiting. 358 days a year. Like, it's just not my thing. Not my jam. I'm not telling anybody that they're wrong if they are. It's just not what I'm interested in. We're getting to one of the few that I am, where I start going, okay, so what we got?
We got three over the weekend, didn't we?
Yeah, there were lots of woos.
I saw three woos over the weekend.
So it feels like it's going in the right direction, and I keep hearing reports and reading reports that this could be the fastest class in Texas Tech history. And it might be one of the fastest in the country. I've seen the movie Iron Eagle 2, which leads me to Speed Kills Peaches. It's the end of the bench. Headlines on the way next on 100.7 The Score.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
And the End of the Bench. Jeff McGuire filling in for Choice Woodman today. Jeff Haxton alongside, as well as Jackson Frazier across the way, sliding slides, pushing buttons for us, taking care of us for another half hour. Get your questions in now for Ask the Bench Warmers. We will get to all of them coming up momentarily. We will get, you're just going to cheat a little bit here as I continue to stumble over my tongue, hour five and a half of being on the air today. Mr. Haxton, any updates? On Bacho.
I mean, I think he'll be ready whenever he decides it's a go. It was wild at the end of practice on Friday. They had about three guys try a half quarter, miss. And he said, I'll take it. And with a boot, threw it a mile in the air. It came down, rattled around, and went in, and practice was over. So I think he's close. I really think he'll be back. Now, I don't know if he'll be back on Wednesday, but you're at this point now where you should be able to roll these teams no matter what. So I think you have the luxury of not having to rush him, but you also want him tuned up and ready to go for the 31st. So should be two easy wins to come. Will he play? I think he could, but I'm not sure he will.
And all reports are that it's just an ankle injury. It's not anything severe. It's a typical this time of year basketball injury that guys are going to twist an ankle from here and there that you land down wrong and just have to work through it.
I was proud of Jalen Tyson because he was not near 100% on Saturday. He had a viral infection. And
was he hanging out with your kids?
Was probably probably shook Perry's hand or something, you know? No. Jalen's a good kid. He's got a lot on his plate, and he fought through it. He fought through some real junk on Saturday, and I was proud of him.
Well, good deal. Looking ahead to the Texas Tech bowl game, we are a little over a week away. There's going to be a Christmas holiday in the middle of it, so it's going to feel like a week. And I've got this strange question that I don't know that I have a great answer for, and I'm hopeful that you guys do, or even on the Yates Forum Center chat line. What do you need out of this bowl game? I don't think you need a win. It would be nice. That would put a nice little layer of icing on your cake. But you got a really good cake that's got its own icing on it for things that you factored in for the year. You don't want to get blown out. But that's just, you never want to get blown out. I also don't think you're going to get blown out. I think your defense is too good for that. You're not playing for revenge like you were a year ago. You're not trying to prove something. You're not trying to just get back to a bowl game. You're not trying to secure a winning season. You've already done that. My short answer is probably the practices, so that a bunch of young guys get some opportunities to get better. But that's not for the bowl game. That's for the future of the program, where that goes. And that's hard to attribute to the bowl game other than the fact that you get these practices as opposed to not.
It'd be nice to clock an SEC team with a big name. And Kiffin, it'd be nice to get by him. So keep showing the improvement track, because you can go out in these bowl games, lay an egg and say, oh man, now we got to wait and sit on this until next year when we open up 2023. So keep showing that improvement track. Have a good game from Shuck and get you a W. I do think you go in there expecting to win this game. If you're Texas Tech, you got to have that attitude, but we'll see what happens.
When you look at how these teams finished the end of this, I'm sorry, Jackson, you've got an answer. You got an answer for this? Completely blew past you, and I'm sorry.
No, it's really what he said. As long as it doesn't really leave like a sour taste in your mouth afterwards, I'd say it's a good trip. As long as you're coming out not having to think about that until football season, it's really just those practices and then getting a little bit more of game experience for some of those younger guys.
How much of a factor do you think the last three games are for both of these two teams? And I bring that up because Tech is 3-0 in those games. Ole Miss 0-3 with a loss to their rival to end the season.
Rest in peace. Unbelievable. There's so many ways that they can go with this, and that's, we did not do what we needed to do down the stretch, and let's piece it together and get that good taste going for us headed to the winter break and then on into spring football. Or I've seen teams not be able to pull out of the nosedive too, where it's just, and they've been a huge hit by the transfer portal school. Ole Miss has, Texas Tech has some activity in that, portal today with Kobe Miner. His, last thing that he put on his announcement was number 3 out. And so I see Reggie Pearson chiming in saying good luck and that sort of thing. So it's all about who wants to be there the most. It always is. And I right now sitting here on the 20th, the 19th.
19th. Payday's tomorrow. That's the only reason I know that.
You just can't tell till you get there.
Do y'all
like
think
last year with the Bulldogs, Tech wanted to be there more?
Oh, yeah. 100% last year. Good.
Do y'all think Lane Kiffin is like looking around at other jobs right now? Because those three losses came around when I started seeing his name pop up.
He got an extension, didn't he?
Yeah, he just got an extension.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's staying.
Unless someone offers him a much bigger extension, and I don't think that's going to happen now. But, yeah, he's staying. So,
John Sokoloff got him a raise.
He did, and he should really thank John
Juan
for that.
Juan Sox.
Johnny Sox is a good dude. He could do that for me. I'd appreciate a raise, John. He's not doing anything for me, is he? No.
Wow. More breaking news.
Okay.
Isaiah Kemah from over at Friendships going to Oklahoma State.
Interesting. Very interesting. That's a bit of a shock. At least from some things that I'd heard earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I pay attention to recruiting about 10 days a year, and we're getting to a couple of them now as we get to the early signing period. This game next week versus Ole Miss will be decided by what? And however you want to answer this is fair.
Sir Roderick Thompson rushing yards.
You got a number in mind?
115.
Oh, wow. That's a really good day. That's a day to go at as
I'm going to be rooting hard for him.
It's hard not to.
Because when you see the numbers in the comparison, I just don't think he's going to be ever mentioned in the breath with any of the backs at Texas Tech that do get mentioned when we start talking about running backs. And I understand why, but I've enjoyed his durability, his athleticism. He's just kind of a quiet dude that goes about his business and runs the football, and I've enjoyed the way that he's conducted himself. So I'm going to be rooting hard for him. It'll be his last one.
When you get past the award-winning running backs at Tech, back in the Spike Dykes eras, and you get past guys like DeAndre Washington and Ricky Williams, in that guys that went on to have pro careers and in their own degree had a lengthy one. I know that Williams' career wasn't as long as he wanted it to be, nor us, because of injuries, but was all signs pointing to he was going to be a solid back for somebody for quite some time had he been able to stay healthy. I do feel like Sir Roderick is in that next, at the top of that next tier.
Next
guys.
Tier, yeah.
That he's definitely one that we're going to have fond memories of when his name is brought up,
mm-hmm.
but not one that we have the fond memories without his name being brought
right.
up, if that makes sense.
I think it does. Do you see Jackson in there just feathering his hair back there? Just
man,
running,
if you got it, flaunt it.
Running his hands through his mane and just kind of shaking it out. Man, come on, dude. What are you on a Head and Shoulders commercial back there, man?
I was trying to see if it was like tie up ponytail length yet, but it's not quite there. And I can't just leave it all scrunched.
The lion's mane.
You got to shake it out afterwards.
Questions in for the Ask the Bench Warmers. It's on the way next on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com and the 100.7 The Score mobile app.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Taking those questions now on 100.7thescore.com and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Firing in, Kobe asked this question. Do you guys think the Cowboys overlooked Jacksonville looking ahead to the Eagles? I'll go last.
Say there's probably some of that going on. Just a little bit of a peek forward because it's such a big game. Also, the name of Jacksonville does not strike fear into anyone in the NFL, although you should play it after the way you played against the Texans. You probably should be taking everybody as seriously as you possibly can. But I bet there was a little bit of look forward and kind of like, again, who are we really here? Are we contenders? You know, might be questioning themselves a little bit. And I'd say yeah.
Jackson?
I think a little bit. I think it's kind of hard not to also. But I will say I saw a lot of stuff about Cowboys players talking about the Eagles the week of the Jacksonville game.
In fairness, they got asked about it.
That is true, but
they answered questions about the Eagles game. They weren't bringing it up on their own.
Which doesn't help in the whole scenario of trying to stay in the moment of who you're playing that week.
I don't think they were looking ahead to the Eagles. I think this Cowboys team...
We are who they thought they were.
Their own press. And they're reading about wins. So everything's fine. And they've shown that they've got the talent to be able to come from behind in these games, that they don't ever get to the, oh, we'll take care of it on the next drive, or, oh, it's all right, we'll get it next time kind of feel. And that's the frustrating part, is because that has worked for them a lot this year. Until yesterday when it didn't, is what I think is going on. And the way you played against Houston should have been the big giant red flag to say, okay, we need to be hunkering down here, instead of, oh, well, we took care of business against Houston, we're fine. Nothing's wrong here, and maybe this is the loss that wakes them up and pushes them on a run to the NFC Championship game where they'll lose to the Eagles. Or maybe this is the loss that shows that they don't belong in the playoffs at all and that they got lucky in the beginning part of their season with Cooper Rush and enabled them to get a playoff spot. And I hate that as a Cowboys fan, that's where I'm at. It's frustrating. Benchwarmers, least favorite Christmas gift you have ever gotten. Mm. I'm going to tell you, we are not going to tell you who it was from. That is off the table. We're just talking about the gift itself. We are not throwing family members under the bus.
Can I? Because it's funny and we fixed it immediately after.
Yes, because it was fixed. And obviously, then they know they screwed up.
And too. It's just like a generational difference in trying to get me a Christmas present from an older family member.
Well, go ahead.
It was my dad. And my dad's older. My dad's like 68 right now. And so I was younger and he got me a Madden game. And the newest one that year was Madden 10.
Okay.
He got me Madden 06 with Sean Alexander on the cover, thinking it was the newest one. Wasn't like the least favorite, but it was a funny haha. And then we just went to the store and got the newest one, and that was really it.
Okay.
I haven't really gotten anything that I haven't appreciated, you know, or didn't like in the moment.
This one, we were still in Duncan. So we left Duncan when I was 13. So I think I was about 11 or 12. And we're getting all these cool gifts, and I got a Christmas sock monkey.
A Christmas sock monkey. Is that like a sock puppet that is already a monkey that's got the extra arm, the arms? And
Christmas sock monkey weed string.
Or is this like Lamb Chop and who's the other one from that ventriloquist that always had the sock puppets? The lady.
Jeff Dunham? Is
no, no, the lady. Hang on.
This is what I'm talking about. Look. Right there.
Okay. Okay. That's an interesting gift.
My brother and I both got one. We were like, huh?
So the worst.
I gave my brother, this is my best story about gift giving. And if my dad's listening right now, he knows what's coming. There was this popular, I can't remember, some kind of troll looking thing. I don't know what it was, but it was really popular. And my brother is 4 years younger than me, and he was really into it. And so I got him one of these things. And there was a big one and a smaller one. And I got him the junior size.
Okay.
And he lost his mind. I wanted a bigger one. I wanted a bigger one. Just crying like crazy. I'll never forget
wow.
it.
Wow.
I'd have had that gift taken away from me if I did that growing up.
Oh, my gosh. I wanted a bigger one.
So he got what he wanted. It just wasn't the right size. A member of my family sent me a sweatshirt that was two sizes too small that would fit into the ugly sweater competitions before they were known as ugly sweater competitions, except it was a sweatshirt that I then had to wear the next Christmas, two sizes too small, because we were at their house and they wanted to see me in it. That was the really.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, I had to move some things around to make that work, and it still didn't work. And
it wasn't a pink bunny costume.
No, it was not a pink bunny costume. It was a sweatshirt, but man, that thing. Best stocking stuffer.
Oh, there's a little tin. There's going to be a little tin in mine. And it's going to have Mr. Franklin in there. Hundo.
Nice.
That's the best you can do.
Okay. Have you had that one before?
My mom and dad, they deliver.
Nice.
That's what they do.
Jackson?
That's usually where I get a good chunk of my, like, fun socks. And so I usually look forward to that. That's where I get, like...
Okay, are you like the guy that's about to sit here next that can wear a different pair of socks every day for a year?
I'm not.
Like a completely different pair of socks?
I'm getting close, yes. But they all have different, like, faces or characters on them and stuff.
Yeah, all of his did too. Yeah. Yeah, he did it for a year.
Mine are, right now I'm wearing tacos with little wheels on them, so they're taco trucks.
I thought that looked like tacos.
Yeah, they're taco trucks.
The year I turned 16, my very own set of keys for the car I was using were in the bottom of my stocking. Wasn't my car, but I no longer had to ask for keys anymore at that point.
Okay.
That was cool.
That was cool, yeah.
And it fit perfectly in the stocking. And I was driving all the time. It was just had to go get mom or dad's keys, depending on
who. Can I have the keys?
Yeah, and I never got told no. Like, it wasn't a... that type of situation, unless we were about to go somewhere, and then it wouldn't have mattered if I was having keys or not at that point. But that was cool.
I first thing I drove was a 1986 GMC Safari minivan. The slide door.
Chick magnet right there, folks.
Taking that to high school, yeah.
1988 Chevy Silver Chevy Celebrity. Which was the Chevy answer to the Ford Taurus.
Same shape?
It boxier, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Very much. It was a four-door mom car. It was the type of car that police didn't hit with a radar detector or the radar gun because they knew it wasn't doing 55 miles an hour. Didn't matter what the speed limit is. They wasn't doing one of those.
Maroon Buick. We had black Honda Accord growing up, and the reason I remember the minivan so much is we got it the day the Challenger exploded. Dad brought it home the day that happened.
And yes, off the Yates Learning Center chat line, I was thinking of Sherry Lewis is the ventriloquist with the
Sherry Lewis
with the yes. lamb chops. She was before Jeff Dunham.
Oh yeah, long time.
That'll do it for us. We're going to get out of the way and let the bottom line guys come in next. I have no idea what they're going to do. I'm not sure they know what they're going to do. For Jeff, for Lucas, for Jackson, I'm Jeff. This has been The End of the Bench on 100.7. The Score.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.